Each of you here tonight has a body, but did you know you are not a body? The true you is actually a spirit. One time I was speaking to a person and he said, I don't believe that man has a spirit. This was an old, kind of like the Milo Zair type of preacher, an old gray-haired man that I had respected and listened to and thought highly of. And when he said, I don't believe that man has a spirit, I looked at him like, he's really gone astray. But then he went on to say this. He said, I believe that our spirits have a man. So you get the difference. Somebody said it this way. I am a spirit. I live in a body and I possess a soul. And when we think of our soul, we're thinking of our mind, we're thinking of our will, we're thinking of our emotions. But tonight, you are not just a body. You are actually a spirit. We each have a body, but you, your spirit, will be alive long after your body is no longer living. Another thought I'd like to give here in introduction. Your spirit is who you truly are. And this evening, tonight, I'm speaking to you with my body. You're hearing my voice. You're seeing my face and my hands and whatnot. And you're here listening to me with your body, with your ears, with your eyes. But did you know that there is something more going on than just my body communicating with your body? Tonight, my spirit is also communicating with your spirit. We call that a spiritual connection that's happening. And you probably already met a person who has been, or who was telling you one thing with their body, but their spirit was telling you something else. And I know I've already met people, maybe they're there talking, and they might even be talking about God or about spiritual things, but there's something saying to me, he doesn't believe what he's saying. And I'm sure you've watched people, sometimes a politician up talking, and they'll be saying all this grandiose things, and you say, you know what, he doesn't really believe what he's saying. I've seen preachers like that already too. They're up preaching, and there's something in me says, I feel that he doesn't actually believe what he's talking about. Now that's a negative example, all right? That's a negative example where somebody's spirit will communicate with our spirit. And I believe our spirit is the true you. A positive example might be this. Have you ever been out shopping or maybe about your work and you meet somebody and all of a sudden you get this feeling like we have a connection here that's deeper. And so you maybe prod a little bit or you ask them a question and you find out that they too are a believer. There's something really, has that ever happened to you? There's something really just kind of exciting about that. Like his spirit was confirming that. They might not have looked like a Christian. They might not even look like somebody we would think of as the typical Christian. But there was something coming from that person that you were getting this, the voice of his spirit was coming to you. And your spirit connected to it. I think of the term kindred spirits. Maybe some of you read the Anne of Green Gables books, and didn't she often talk about kindred spirits? And one more thing yet about spirits in introduction here. You can hurt somebody's body, and you can hurt their feelings. But if you attack someone at the level of the spirit, it is so devastating because that is the real person that you're attacking. And it is also true with God. We can be forgiven for sins against God the Father and against God the Son, but what about against God the Holy Spirit? And I never want to scare people. Sometimes people say, oh, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. And I believe that if that is something you think about, you probably don't have to worry about that. You probably have not. But the point I'm trying to make is this. God's spirit is so, so very sensitive, so very gentle, and he will never force you to do anything. All right, so what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And I guess I have one more thought here, an introduction. I don't like when preachers give long introductions, but I was going to say this because some of you might be able to relate to this. I grew up in a church setting where if we heard a message about the Holy Spirit, along with it came many, many warnings about how dangerous it was to get all wrapped up in what the Holy Spirit was telling you to do. So I'm just going to say this at the beginning because you're not going to hear me give probably any warnings tonight about the Holy Spirit. Although I will say that there are people who have misused the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you've met people like that. When I was a little boy growing up, my aunt did not like wearing a covering. She did not like wearing a covering. And so she prayed to God that God's Spirit would lead her so she should know whether or not she should wear a covering. And guess what happened? She came to my mother one day, and she did not have a covering on. And my mother said, oh, wow, what happened, aunt? Or it was her sister. And she said, I prayed that if God does not want me to wear a covering, he would direct me with his Holy Spirit. I was out hanging at wash, and the wind came along and blew my covering off. And that was God's Spirit telling me, I don't have to wear a covering anymore. And so I'm going to say this. Tonight, if you do not like a certain teaching that's in the Bible, whether or not you want to obey it is going to ultimately be up to you, but don't blame the Holy Spirit. That's what people have done too often. That's kind of sad when they say, the Holy Spirit told me I don't have to do something that's in the Bible. All right, you have your Bibles open here to John 14, and we're going to look at what the Bible says about being led by the Holy Spirit. I really, really enjoy the subject. It is actually a very, very exciting subject. And one reason it's so exciting is because the Bible is so clear in what it says about the Holy Spirit. I think you're going to agree with me as we go along. Look at John 14, verse 15. Jesus says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, Jesus is the one comforter, and he's saying, I'm going to give you another one, which is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And we're going to read two more times the phrase, the Spirit of truth. And I think it's significant. Whenever we come across the word truth, I always think of the verse in John 17 where it says, thy word is truth. And so the Spirit of truth is always going to agree with God's word. It's always going to agree with God's word because it is the Spirit of truth. And God's word is truth. Thy word is truth. So one way to try the spirits when we hear something is to ask this question. Is it biblical? Does it agree with the truth? Because if the Holy Spirit is giving it to you, it will agree with the written word. It is the Spirit of truth. If it's not of the Holy Spirit, it could be an evil spirit. You need to be aware of that. So right there is a warning. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Now notice what he says, and here's where it starts to get really exciting. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth is going to come and actually be inside each one of us. That's what we just read. Now turn down to, jump down to John 15, 26. What's he going to do while he's inside there? Look at John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, there we have it again, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's going to teach us about Jesus. And where is he going to get the things that he's going to teach us? Turn over to John 16, verse 7. actually jump down to verse 13, 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, there we have it again, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but, get this, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Think about this. This spirit that's going to be inside us is God's spirit. And we said that when somebody actually speaks to you and their spirit is communicating with you, that's the true you. God's spirit is going to be inside us. And what do you think he's going to be talking about to us when he's inside us? It says that the things that he hears, he's going to speak to you. What do you think God's spirit actually hears? Well, guess what my spirit hears? It hears the things that I'm saying because it's my spirit. It's the true you. It's the true me. And so God's spirit, who is right there with God and understands what God is doing, he's part of God, he's the spirit of God, is going to actually come and he's going to be inside us telling us things that he's hearing God speaking. I don't know about you, but that almost gives me goosebumps to think about that, that he's actually going to be inside us telling things that he is hearing God saying. Do you see how this spirit can actually lead you? Do we have to be afraid of the things that he tells us? Not if he's telling us those things. Now, jump to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight, so I hope you can keep up here a little bit. 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll go to verse 19. Know ye not? I'm sorry, I'm on verse 9. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Where is he? Which is in you, which ye have of God. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's spirit is going to be living in you. Do you believe he lives in there? I think we all say we believe that, but let me ask you this. Is he actually controlling your body? Does he have a say in the decisions that you make? All right, he's saying, make sure that when you have the spirit in you, that the things you're doing are glorifying God. Because you're not your own. You're not just a body tonight. You have a spirit, but you also have God's spirit. And those spirits are connecting, and there's a communication going on. All right, turn to 2 Peter 1. This verse, or this passage, is a very interesting passage, and it gives some interesting insight into the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? 2 Peter 1, and we'll go right into verse 20. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the scriptures that we hold in our hands, that you read hopefully on a daily basis, were written by who? Tells us here, by the Holy Ghost. So when you are reading your Bible, you're reading the words of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so think about this. Where does the Holy Ghost live today? He's inside us. All right? And so here's a really, really beautiful thought. In the morning time, at least that's when I like to read my Bible, in the morning I like to wake up, make a fresh cup of coffee. I take my cup of coffee and I like to go sit on my chair. And that's when I read the Bible. So when I am there reading the Bible in the morning with my fresh cup of coffee, where is the author of the book that I'm reading? Quite near, isn't he? He is quite near. He's inside us. Now that actually goosebumps to think of that, that he's actually inside there. And so as I'm reading the Bible, his spirit is saying things to my spirit. He's saying, Stanley, did you just see what you read there? The Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, and he's leading us, guiding us. That's a beautiful thing. What other book could you read? And I don't know how many of you are readers, and I'm going to tell you right now that I'm an aspiring reader. I know there's some people who read a lot, and I used to read a lot when I was younger, and then it seems like life hit, and I don't know what happened, but I don't get to read very much. Now, there are some people that don't have to put effort forth to read, and I know there's at least one of those people here tonight that will read a book on a Sunday evening without even thinking about it. She's not very old, but she can get through a book very, very quickly. I have to like say, all right, Stanley, I'm going to read. And about a year ago when school started, I think it was in September, I decided, all right, I'm kind of getting old. It's time I start reading more. And so I made this mental, I guess you would call it commitment, that I was going to spend 1 hour every single day reading and 1 hour every single day going on a walk. And the funny thing is, I thought that the going on the walk part was like going up and down our road. Our road's like a mile long, so I thought I could walk out a mile, walk back, it'd take me about an hour. And I thought that's going to be the hard part. Well, I found that that's actually the easy part to get done. I actually enjoy that. But the sitting down and actually reading for a whole hour has not happened nearly as faithfully as I would have liked it to. But think about it again, what we just read here. When you're reading the Bible, all those other books you read, they're great to read. But when you're reading the Bible, where's the author? He's right there. And he can make that thing come alive to you. And so I just want to encourage you, read the Bible. Take time studying it and finding out what he actually would like to tell you there in that. All right, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And I'd like to just look at a passage here. So the Holy Spirit is inside us. He's telling things that he hears God saying. That's a wonderful way that he leads us. When we're reading his word, the word that he actually inspired and wrote, he's inside us. He's telling us what he meant when he read it. He has every right to do because he understands what he was saying. But now look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. This passage here is just a beautiful, beautiful passage when it comes to the Holy Spirit. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And what I get from that is that God has things prepared for us that we have not even ever thought about. You never even considered it. Things that we earthbound people go through our day, we are all caught up in our work and what we're doing, that we never think about that. Do you want to know those things? Would you like to know the things that God prepared for us? That he would like to show us, but we're going to have to actually allow him to show us? Well, how can we know those things? Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we just read how what he hears God saying, he reveals them to us, the deep things of God. The things he is hearing God say. But keep reading. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? What he's saying there is, if you want to know what a man truly is, The spirit of a man will really know that because he is the spirit of a man. End of verse 11. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I just want to stop there. Talks about here that we are given the Spirit of God, and there is a spirit of the world. That should be a warning to us. And there is another spirit. There is another spirit. So then we get to verse 12. For we have received not this, or I'm sorry, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'll just stop there, and we'll read a few more verses here. Have you ever noticed how a natural man, a man who doesn't have the Spirit of God, finds it so hard to understand the spiritual things of this world? And one example I would give is Nicodemus. Remember when he was speaking to Jesus and Jesus started talking spiritual things, and Jesus said, you know, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to be born again. And he right away went to the natural. Like, how can that work? How can a man be born again? And he didn't get the spiritual thing. It kind of reminds me, one time I was talking to a truck driver. He was at our place and picking up some equipment, and you know, truck drivers can be they're kind of lonely people because they sit in a truck all day, and when they finally get a listening ear, they'll sit and talk to you for hours and hours if you let them. But he was complaining about all the things that were going wrong, all the things that was wrong here in America, and you know, he was just doing what a lot of truck drivers unfortunately tend to do, just complaining. And I thought, you know, I should say something to him. You know, try to lift his mind up. And I said, you know what? I said, there's a lot of trouble around here, a lot of things that aren't so good. But I said, you know, someday we're all out of here. We're all going to be out of this place. And he said, you know, he said, I live in a camper. And he said, someday I'm hooking this truck up to my camper and I'm out of here too. I'm leaving this state. And the spiritual thing that I was trying to say, it just, like, it felt like it had completely gone over his head. And I thought about that when I read this. A spiritual person will understand spiritual things. It's hard for a person who doesn't have God's Spirit to catch on to spiritual things. And that's why when we're talking to people, we have to be a little bit more direct than what I was with that fellow. We might have to be a little more plain in our speaking, not talk, you know, not saying someday we're out of here. We'll say, you know, someday God's coming back and he's going to actually take us out of here, and maybe then he would have gotten it. But and maybe he did get it too. Maybe he did get it too. We don't know. Verse 15. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That means he can understand all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What that just is telling us right there is this. It's saying that if you're truly spiritual, you can figure it out with the help of God's Spirit. Now, here's where people go astray. Here's where people can go astray. They say, guess what? I don't need you, my fellow brothers and my sisters, because I got the Holy Spirit, and between the two of us, we're going to figure it all out. Does it work that way, Milo? You can just figure it out, just you and the Holy Spirit, and you don't need anybody else. Sometimes, the problem with that is this. None of us is 100% spiritual. We also got bodies. We also got desires, and we also have wishes that are not always from God. And so we do need each other, right? We do need each other. But I want to get to verse 16 yet. This is actually what I was coming for. I think this here is really, really exciting to me. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I don't know if you're catching what it's saying here, but earlier we read that what the Spirit hears God saying, he comes to us and communicates that with our spirit. But here it's saying that he also knows what the mind of Christ is. He knows what God is thinking. And to me, that's really, really exciting, especially in the times that we're living in. You know, when things are going like off the rails, so to speak. And like this past week, kind of felt like an intense week where we had a lot of really, really, I would say, disturbing and graphic things shown to us. And did you ever stop and think, wouldn't you like to know what God thinks about such and such a situation? You know, what does God think about Charlie Kirk being killed? Or what does God think about fill in the blank, whatever the thing is you're going through? You know what this verse says? This verse says you can actually know what God thinks about those things. Because the Holy Spirit who is inside you knows what God is thinking. And so when you're there reading your Bible in the morning or when you're going through the day driving your truck or whatever you're doing, you can say, Lord, what do you think about this? And then if you're still and if you're quiet and if you give the Holy Spirit room to speak, he will reveal what God thinks about things. He might bring a verse to your mind. He might bring a thought to your mind. He might bring a song to your mind. He might have your phone all of a sudden ring and call you, somebody call you and say, Stanley, you know what? I just was thinking about this. That's happened to me several times already. Out of the clear blue, I'm trying to think through something and I've been praying about something and my phone will ring and there's somebody saying, here's something to think about. The Holy Spirit actually knows the mind of Christ. He knows what God is thinking, and he can tell you what he is thinking. And that should be a comfort to us this evening. Doesn't that give you the comfort? And that's what he is called. He is called the Comforter. I think this passage is called, in theology, it's called the Illumination Passage. We can be illuminated by God's Spirit. I didn't see a clock, and I didn't bring a clock up here with me, but okay, and my eyes aren't good enough to even read it, so we're going to wrap this up here just in a few minutes in case you're getting a little bit nervous how late this is going to go. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians 4, verse 30. Again, we're saying, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? And this is a very, very common verse that we maybe can say by memory. I'd like to ask you, does the Holy Spirit ever leave a person? And the answer to that is yes. The Holy Spirit can be grieved and he can leave a person. And in Psalm 51, David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And some Bible scholars believe that maybe what he was thinking about was King Saul, from whom the Spirit of God had departed. And he was saying, Lord, just never let that happen to me. Take not thy Spirit from me. That's a good prayer for each of us. As we make mistakes and as we have failures in life, I think that's a prayer we should say, Lord, take not thy Spirit from me. I need that. I need that Spirit. I want that Spirit. But yes, the Spirit can leave a person. He can be grieved. And he can be quenched to the point that we do not hear him anymore. And so I think whenever we hear that voice of the Spirit speaking to us way down deep in, we should be listening. We want to obey him. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit tonight? I'm going to give you two ways that I think it's possible. There may be more. The first one I already alluded to, when we disobey the Holy Spirit. If time after time the Holy Spirit starts to come to you and says, Stanley, don't do that. Or Stanley, go talk to your neighbor about this need in his life or whatever it is. And you say, you know, I'm not going to do it. Eventually, I believe the Holy Spirit will be grieved and he'll come to the place where he says, I don't think Stanley really cares what I say to him, so I'm going to leave him or I'll quit speaking to him. I believe that is one way that we can actually quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. But a second way that I'd like to think a little bit about is we can grieve the Holy Spirit with what I will call broken building materials. You see, the Holy Spirit, while he's living inside me, he is working to make me into a beautiful temple in which he can live. And that's what he does. He comes into you and he tries to improve you. He tries to get you to see where you have failures. But what building supplies am I giving the Holy Spirit to work with, to build this temple? He's trying to build a temple inside you. And I'm looking straight across at the temple you all are building, all right, the sanctuary. And suppose when you went to build that thing, I don't know how it was, but if one day the block truck pulled in, and suppose if the block truck could come and he set off all the concrete blocks and they were all broken up into little tiny pieces. Or suppose when the truck came with all the 2x4s and they were all bent and crooked and snapped in half, what would you builders have said? Would you build a house with that stuff? I don't think so. He just said, I can't build a house with this. And I think too often we expect the Holy Spirit to build something good with a lot of broken building material. And I'm thinking about the things that we allow to get into our minds that he has to work extra hard to undo so that he can create a beautiful temple in which he can live. I don't know what those things might be, but I know for me, materialism is something that I really struggle with. Getting so caught up in my work that that's all I think about and that's all I put in there and I'm constantly intaking all kinds of things about my work or about my business. And while I think that's good and necessary, if that's the only building materials I'm given the Holy Spirit to build a temple, I don't know, that might be a little bit of a tough job for him. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe I hear there's people that enjoy romance novels. I don't even know what a romance novel really is. But, and maybe it's good to read them every now and then. But I think if that's all you're sticking in there, do you think it's going to be kind of hard for the Holy Spirit to build a really beautiful temple if that's all you're putting in there? And you could think of a lot of other things, a lot of bad things that people put into their hearts and minds. If we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, how long does he stay with us? How long does he stay with us? Look at this here. It says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit actually is with us, it appears, eternally. And I would like you to think about this. There are a lot of evil spirits out there. And in the book of Daniel, we read that the evil spirits and the good spirits are fighting, and they're at war with each other. And I would just like to say this. You do not want to enter the afterlife without the Holy Spirit. The evil spirits that are out there are not ones that you want to face on your own without the Holy Spirit. There are good spirits and there are bad spirits. When we die, we want to be like Lazarus, who the Bible says the angels carried him. And that has the thought of God going with us, the good going with us, and taking us into the afterlife. All right, so those are some thoughts I have on what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to end by reading some verses in Romans 8 that I think just kind of give like a good capstone to what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside us. He hears what God's saying. He hears what God's thinking. When you read the Bible, he's right there and he will tell you what he meant. Those are ways that the Holy Spirit can lead us. And let's now look at we'll start back at verse 24 of chapter 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then we go to what it's like to have the Holy Spirit living in us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beautiful description of the Christian life. You can walk after the pride of the flesh or after the Holy Spirit, one or the other. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who, get this, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See what it's like to be led by the Spirit? You're minding the things that the Spirit's telling you. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We don't want that, do we? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Jump down to verse 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, part of the comforting work of the Spirit. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we'll just stop right there. Becoming a Christian is when we open our hearts up to God and to his Holy Spirit, and we say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Bring your Holy Spirit into my heart. I want you to lead me. And from here away, for the rest of my life, I'm going to allow you, the Holy Spirit, to lead me. That's what we mean when we say we become a Christian, in simple terms. But is that the last time that you invite the Holy Spirit into your life? I'd like to suggest that that is something we need to do every single day. Every single day we say, Holy Spirit, it's a new day out there. World's out there. There's things that are going to be troubling to me, things that I'm going to be facing. I'm going to have to make a lot of tough decisions today. Come into my heart and lead me and talk to me and whisper things to me. Tell me what God's thinking about these things. Tell me what you're hearing God saying. Speak to me through your word. That's what it means to be a Christian, and we need to do that every single day. I think that's where we're going to stop. With that. So for the rest of the week, I am hoping, Lord willing, tomorrow, if all goes as planned, that we'll look at the subject on forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? If you've ever struggled with somebody that's really, really hard to forgive, or if you've ever wronged somebody and you know that they're working hard to forgive you, we'll try to give some thoughts on that. Then Sunday morning, so Milo kind of clued me in that there's going to be two sermons on Sunday. And I said, I feel badly for anybody who has to sit through two sermons on a Sunday morning. So I changed up things just a little bit for Sunday morning. And what I'm planning, Lord willing, and it could change. I'd like to look at the subject on what does it mean to know Christ. And then the second message, so that you all will stay awake a little better. Instead of doing the fourth one, the fourth title that I had given to Milo, I'd like to open it up and have what I'm going to call a little bit more of a open discussion on another question that I think is very, very important for us to each ask as a Christian. I'd actually considered starting with it, but I think we're going to end with it. And it's this question. Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you believe the Bible? Right? I think it's a good question that everyone should be asking, but especially young people. So I'm hoping that on Sunday you can come with some thoughts there on why you believe the Bible. Thank you for being attentive. And I think we're going to end with a prayer. You can stand together for that prayer. Our Father in heaven, tonight we come before you with hearts of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who enjoys communicating with us. You're not a God who has put us here and set things in motion and turned your back and have left us here to figure it all out on our own. But thank you so much that you enjoy to communicate with us. And thank you, Lord, that you have given us this beautiful indwelling that we can each have, and that is the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the work that the Holy Spirit does. And thank you that the Holy Spirit is capable and willing and desires to lead each one of us. Lord, I just pray that each of us as we go through life would daily make the request and make the decision to ask your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, come into the situations at hand, come into the problems we're facing, and to give us direction and give us clarity and give us what you would be thinking and what you would be saying about the situation. Thank you that we can have this wonderful, wonderful gift. And thank you for the comfort that it can give to us when it confirms with our spirit that we are your sons and your daughters. Lord, I just pray for each person. Thank you for each person that came out tonight. Bless them for that. And I pray that you would give them what they need in their lives. We pray that we could each have a good night as we go home from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.